What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, November 22nd, 2022, getting into the week here, and it's another very, very busy news day. We're going to try and get as much news done as we can before it's time to open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room taking care of business, and well, let's just get right on into it here. Earlier today, there was a large earthquake in the Solomon Islands. Something early report was, 7.3 magnitude, which is major. There was a tsunami alert put on out. Then they pulled back on it. But the prime minister's office was saying everybody needs to move to higher ground after the first quake. Then there was an aftershock here. And it seems like the planet Earth is really in a state of upheaval right now, because there was a magnitude 6.2 earthquake that hit the Baja California coast also earlier this morning. And over the weekend, we had major quakes about magnitude 6 in the Aleutians in Oregon. And we're actually having a small quake swarm here in Illinois, Indiana. Now, in our case, they're very, very minor, very hard to feel. But everybody's looking over at that New Madrid fault and is wondering, is it getting ready to let go? But a lot of geological activity going on here. Anyway, today is November 22nd, and on this day in 1963, President John F. Kennedy, the 35th president, was assassinated. And as we've all seen in the films, he was riding in an open car motorcade in downtown Dallas, Texas, in Dealey Plaza. And, the Secret Service let him just sit in the open car. They didn't put the bubble top on, which would have probably protected him here. And so it was a really, tragic situation. If you're my age, you remember exactly where you were when you were told that the president had been killed. And, it's really interesting. There's an article out of Global Research called The Never-Ending Suppression of the Truth. And it's basically talking about how some researchers in San Francisco had to sue President Joe Biden and the National Archives over the postponement of the release of records on the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And they keep delaying and delaying, and we'll get to it eventually, and so forth and so on. And it raises the question, if this really was just a straightforward open and shut case of a crazed lone gunman, Lee Oswald, shooting the president, why the secrecy? Why all the secrecy? Something to think about there. All right. Now, the other big story that we're covering right now is down in Maricopa County, Arizona. There is more and more information pouring on out about the massive election fraud that's being uncovered. The Republican National Committee had these roving attorneys monitoring the Maricopa voting centers. They're starting to release their results, and it is definitely not good at all. Pardon me. Overall, one of the lawyers wrote, 72 of the 115 vote centers we visited had material problems with the tabulators not being able to tabulate ballots, causing voters to either deposit their ballots into a box, spoil their ballots and revote, or get frustrated and leave the vote center without voting here. And what's really kind of interesting is that just the day before, all the systems had been tested and seemed to be working perfectly here. And, then on election day, all these problems started happening here. And what's being reported by the attorneys and even some of the workers at the poll systems and the voters themselves, the problems were far wider than the Maricopa County officials care to admit. They're trying to keep this down and say, oh, well, there's a few problems, but it doesn't change the final outcome. So, there's an article coming out of the Arizona Sun-Times about the Maricopa County voting centers were plagued with tabulation errors on Election Day, primarily affecting areas averaging well over 300% more Republicans than Democrats. In other words, all these malfunctions were taking place where Republicans were the majority of the voters. And their votes, as a result of all these problems, were actively being suppressed here. And the Arizona Attorney General's office has come forward confirming that there were multiple violations of state election law in the handling of the Maricopa election. And from all the statements coming out from various eyewitnesses, it may well be that the election will be uncertifiable. It will be impossible to do that. And that is really kind of a news. In fact, as of the start of this show, four Arizona counties are delaying certification until these issues can be addressed. That's Mojave, Gila, Conchise, and Yavapai counties have refused to certify the suspect election. There are only 15 counties in the state of Arizona. Have you seen one word of this on the corporate media? Probably not. Okay. Now, there's another story, this one coming out of Rumble. It's a video where a poll watcher is saying that yet again there was an example where more ballots were turned into the election center than they actually had registered voters. And, the rejection rate definitely favored the Democrats. So the Arizona Attorney General is demanding the officials answer for some of these problems, including mixed counted and uncounted ballots. Apparently, in some places, they were taking ballots that had already been tabulated and throwing them in the boxes with the untabulated ballots to be run through the machines again. And this completely discredits the Arizona election. I mean, even at the most generous, where you're saying these are honest mechanical breakdowns and human error, the fact of the matter is that the Arizona election cannot be relied on. It is completely untrustworthy. And at the very least, there has to be a do-over. Now, Carrie Lake is out there insisting she will become the governor now that the Attorney General is demanding answers from Maricopa County regarding this very obvious voter suppression in Republican areas that occurred on Election Day. Now, of course, the media is coming on out, denouncing Carrie Lake as an election denier. That's the new smear tactic coming on out. If you dare question the honesty of election, you're an election denier. Ooh, bad election denier here. And, we all have a right to examine what the government is doing. We have that right under the First Amendment to basically petition the government for redress of grievances. And wanting to verify that the elections are honest and transparent does not make you an election denier. It makes you an involved, voter. And years ago, I thought about starting yet another organization here that was going to be called Vine. And it stood for Voting is Not Enough. And the whole point of that website was going to be you need to get involved at the local level. You need to volunteer to be a poll watcher. You need to keep an eye on those people counting the votes. Because as Joseph Stalin said, people who vote decide nothing. People who count the votes decide everything. Now, up in New Hampshire, there is another lawsuit that's been filed by the Democratic Party to stop a hand recount for a state House seat, arguing that the election results should stand even if they are wrong. Now, that is probably about as un-American as you can get. You know, we want to know. We, the American people, want to know. We demand to know that the people being put in power are the ones that we selected. Not some bunch of corporations, not the other politicians, and not the machinery here. This is supposed to be a government chosen of the people, by the people, and for the people. All right. Now, a lot of people are paying attention to Merrick Garland's decision to appoint a special counsel to investigate Trump. It does appear to be completely politically motivated, and Biden is already trying to duck responsibility, saying he learned about this whole thing from TV news reports. Of course, we heard Obama use the same excuse when he got caught in a scandal here. All right, another article, this one coming out of True News. It looks like the FBI's new role, paid for by your tax dollars, is protecting criminal gangs like the Bidens. And they're talking about a whistleblower who's come forward who was involved with Hunter Biden in joint ventures that conducted energy deals, tech companies, and launched online gambling platforms with an offshoot called Ocho Global. And the source was shocked to hear then Vice President Joe Biden and then Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid on a conference call discussing licenses needed to roll out Ocho Global in Latin America. And so, anyway, the whistleblower hesitated to come forward years ago because whistleblowers have a sad habit of falling over dead. You know, Rich, the guy from the Democratic inside there, being a good example there. But again, the FBI is coming down hard on you know, anybody who's you know, not parroting the official story of any kind. So yeah, they're the new Gestapo, protecting the ruling class from the wrath of the disenfranchised people. Now, Associated Press is out there denying that there is any evidence that Joe Biden discussed Hunter's business dealings. Now, because Associated Press was not invited into the meetings between Joe and Hunter Biden, they really cannot know for sure. But this is just putting on that, oh, there is no evidence, there isn't a shred of evidence that Joe Biden was doing anything involved with Hunter Biden's you know, business dealings and homemade porn and crack smoking and the rest of it. Meanwhile, Biden's backers and handlers are already laying the groundwork to discredit and downplay any revelations coming from Hunter Biden's laptop after House Republicans announced plans to launch a federal investigation just last week. And so they're getting their propaganda army up there to say, oh, it's just, it's Russian propaganda. It's those conspiracy theorists, and you know how bad they are. Well, do you know how to identify a conspiracy theorist? They don't have myocardia. Okay? So, anyway. Now, the news outlets are trying to cover the damage from having suppressed the story about the laptop and ridiculing the New York Post when they went with this story out there, and they're claiming, well, we just never got around to authenticating the laptop, and either they're lying or they're technologically illiterate, and in either case, they should not be in control of the dialogue of the American people. Now, suspicion has arisen regarding the FBI's release of the pipe bomb footage from January 6th. And apparently Revolver News has proof that some portions of the footage were withheld and the FBI tampered with the frame rate of what was left. And so they're trying to hide something. They don't want to actually show who placed that pipe bomb out of concern that somebody might recognize them. And meanwhile, another story about our wonderful FBI. This is coming from Women's Systems. The FBI paid out $42 million a year to confidential human sources, including the thugs who set up the Trump, you know, Russiagate thing, the Whitmer kidnap hoaxers, and others. And this is a report from the Open the Books organization. And basically, the government paid out a total of $500 million taxpayer dollars to play these hoaxes on you. And, you know, I don't know about you, but in that agreement of, you know, we're going to let you run the country and we're going to pay you taxes, nowhere in there are we going to say, yes, use those taxes to lie to us, use those taxes to trick us. In fact, if you read the Constitution, and I suggest you do, I'm a strict constitutionalist, nowhere in the Constitution is the government authorized to mislead the American public. And the 10th Amendment forbids them from simply assuming such an authority. So when a government lies to its people, when this government lies to the American people, it delegitimizes itself by its unconstitutional behavior. All righty. Now, up in New York, Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, who's a Democrat, is being investigated over her attendance at the Met Gala in recent years. Apparently, there was some little quid pro quo of getting her in there, and they're going to find out what's going on there. Another article, this is coming out of VDare, and it's saying that the GOP establishment wants to get rid of not just Donald Trump, but Trumpism as a whole, along with immigration patriotism. Right now, they are seeing that Americans who want secure borders and want America kept for Americans are the enemy, and they really want to get rid of us here. All right. Now, the Kenosha kid is back. Kyle Rittenhouse is seriously considering a run for Congress. Okay, now, right now, he's only 19 years old, and he's not eligible to become a member of Congress. However, Rittenhouse posted a picture of the Capitol on his social media accounts and said, T-minus 5 years until this is my office. Okay, and so Rittenhouse is suggesting he might run for Congress and even win a seat. And obviously, being pro-gun, I'm certainly going to vote for him. All right. Now, we have been hearing how there's part of Oregon wants to break off and become part of, I think it's Idaho. And it turns out there are a number of regions in the country where counties want to break off from their parent states and become states of their own. And I was rather surprised to find out that over here in Illinois, our backyard, that they're thinking about branching off and forming a new state. A growing number of southern Illinois counties have voted to leave the state itself and form a new state. The resolutions are unfortunately non-binding and they don't have the force of law, but they do demonstrate a growing displeasure with the total influence that Cook County, which is where Chicago is located, has over the entire state. You know, and they're saying there, well, look what's going wrong with Chicago. I don't want that to come here. And so they're starting to make noises like that. 27 counties in total have voted to leave the state. In many of those counties, the percentage of people voting in favor of leaving the state exceeded 75%. So that's a good one there. All righty. Now, over at USANews.com, they're claiming that they have Jeff Epstein's complete black book and flight logs. And there are some very big names. They haven't listed them all. The version they put up for publication is partially redacted. But the contents are a list of 1,971 names with contact information, phone numbers, addresses. Several VIPs and respected individuals are in the book. And some of the names that were found there were Senator Edward Kennedy, Joan Rivers, Charlie Rose, Maria Shriver, Peter Soros, Kevin Spacey, Bill Clinton, Barbara Walters, David Wassong, Dr. Ruth Westheimer, Steve Wynn, Tim Cook, John Kerry, Jimmy Buffett, Lauren Hutton, Mick Jagger, and Michael Jackson. Now, it's important to point out that these people's presence on Epstein's little island does not indicate proof that they did something underhanded. Epstein had a lot of people down to that island who were, well, to put it delicately, not able to avail themselves of some of the pleasures on the island. For example, he had Stephen Hawking visit his island, and, you know, Stephen had physical limits there. So, again, the presence of somebody's name in the book is not in and of itself proof of bad behavior. So we have to keep that in mind here. On over to Twitter, they have now reinstated Marjorie Taylor Greene's personal account. And Elon Musk reversed the ban put in place last January over Greene supposedly violating the platform's COVID-19 misinformation policy. And using her official congressional account, which was not banned by Twitter, Green urged her followers to head to her newly reinstated, unfiltered personal account. And so she's back online there. And even better, Elon Musk has reversed the lifetime Twitter ban for Project Veritas. And, you know, they do really, really good work over there. And I'm glad they're back on Twitter. And oh, my goodness, how time flies when you're bitching about the government. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Wall Street wizards on the lam, from a mental institution, claim private retirement funds, yeah, they are the best solution. But when the markets crash, we'll be asking where's the cash. Guess them folks in D.C. must be smoking Texas hash. Will Congress pay the piper?
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about social media, Twitter in particular, and the Anti-Defamation League, which is the biggest pro-Israel lobbying group in America, has ordered, not requested, ordered a global advertiser boycott of Twitter for not doing enough to censor Kanye West and other critics of their power. In other words, you know, don't talk about the ADL's power or the ADL will unleash its power on you. So that's doesn't make sense, but that's what they're doing. Now, Elon Musk has announced as of Sunday, the social media platform would make addressing child sexual exploitation on the platform his number one priority. I heartily agree. And, you know, I'm going to get the usual liberal nutcase to say, well, you know, it may be distasteful, but it's still free speech. And, well, you know, you said there was certain speech that should be limited and tit for tat here. I think children have to be protected. Okay. Now, Twitter is getting ready to take on WhatsApp. They're planning to encrypt direct messages to enable users to communicate without being concerned about their privacy. And you could be soon have your morning video call on Twitter if Elon Musk is able to make this work. And Musk presented several features he wants to add to Twitter going forward. And these include end-to-end encryption of direct messages, a feature that's already on chat apps, WhatsApp, and Signal, as well as voice and video calling. Now, personally, I would not trust any encryption that was not of my own creation because of the NSA's bad habit of going on in and literally bribing the executives of companies to install backdoors. Anyway, getting on back to social media, Matt Taibbi had an article about YouTube censoring reality and boosting disinformation. And he's very upset about YouTube's decision to censor a factually accurate video about rigged elections. Okay, this video was produced by Matt Orfalia, and the company has given Matt a strike and labeled his work misinformation. And CBS Morning came out with a story claiming they obtained a copy of Hunter Biden's laptop, sent for an independent forensic review, and said, you know, it appears genuine. And, you know, again, these corporate social medias were trying to bury the story. All right. There is now a class action lawsuit against Google regarding their opaque data mining practices. And to nobody's surprise, it turns out that the big tech social media companies are not as committed to your privacy as their advertising would indicate. And the latest example of this reality is Google, who was revealed last week by MarketWatch to have data mining practices that employees say they sometimes don't understand and cannot describe. And so the report cited a class action lawsuit alleging that Google violated promises not to collect data of those using the browser without signing into their Google accounts. So a lot of data collection going on there. You know, your private information is big business out there on the internet. Now, over in London, responding to Elon Musk's decision to reactivate President Trump's account on Twitter, the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, declared it is time for new regulations to police online speech. Okay, he labeled Trump a dangerous far-right politician who has a history of inciting violence, which is a huge lie, and proclaimed that he must not be allowed to use social media. In the same sentence, Khan declared that freedom of speech is vital, but it must be balanced. Well, Sadiq, a little newsflash, in order for speech to be balanced, all points of view must be allowed. Otherwise, it's not balanced speech, it's merely propaganda. Okay, getting into COVID, and yes, it's still with us, there's an article over at UNS.com called Back to the USSR, and it's basically responding to the fact that doctors in Ontario, Canada are being advised to consider using psychiatric medicines on patients who refuse the COVID vaccine. And this is something that the Soviet Union used to do. You know, you take what we tell you to take. If you don't, you're mentally ill. We're going to shoot you up with, tranquilizers, Thorazine, and give you what we think you should have anyway here. Okay. Another article from UNS.com explaining why ivermectin is both preventative and cure for COVID and a variety of debilitating illnesses. There is no doubt about this at all. Hydroxychloroquine is also an effective treatment in the early stages of COVID infection. Now, Fauci, who I think just had his last press conference, the National Institutes of Health, the CDC, and the big pharma-dependent medical establishment lied through their teeth, claiming falsely that only toxic doses of ivermectin could combat COVID virus. Okay, got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children.
And welcome back to our show here, and we're talking about COVID. We're talking about the suppression of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Remember when they were saying, oh, it's horse paste, it's not going to work, it's not approved by the FDA for COVID and so forth and so on. And people are looking for the reason why this was done, because you had all of these people lying through their teeth, claiming that only the vaccines were going to combat COVID, and it turns out it really did not. It's all about the money. Okay, medical researchers are on Big Pharma's payroll, and they're going to write the studies that Big Pharma wants to have put on out there, and they're rewarded with publication and fame and travel and so-called performance bonuses. And there are billions and billions of dollars on the line here. Okay. Now, as I mentioned before, Dr. Fauci just gave his final press conference. He's stepping down at the end of the year. And Daily Caller's Diana Glebova tried to ask Dr. Fauci about what he did to investigate the origins of COVID, and Jean-Pierre just shuts her down. okay? And then another reporter yells at Jean-Pierre for not letting Diana ask the question. So you can just see that the cover-up is just right there, blatant in front of your face. Okay, a little sad story. Down in Argentina, a four-year-old boy who was considered the face of Argentina's COVID jab rollout has died suddenly. And by the way, that phrase, died suddenly, is trending in online searches. Okay, and the doctor said he had a viral fever, and I'm waiting for somebody to come on out and say John F. Kennedy was actually a tragic suicide. I mean, that's how bizarre the cover stories get here. Meanwhile, authorities in Oregon are looking into a report published false claims of sky-high COVID-19 hospitalization rates among children. And, obviously keep the numbers up, keep the fear factor up, keep people running to the doctors to get more and more of these shots here. And, again, they got caught lying, and they'll grin sheepishly and then go back to lying again. All righty. Now, there's a very good article, and we linked it, obviously, to what really happened. It's from Global Research, and it's talking about the exact mechanism by which these COVID mRNA vaccines are injuring the patients and suppressing their natural immune system. And it's a lot of chemistry in here. And one of the things they point out, the COVID jab produces high levels of immunoglobulin antibodies, which are associated with all autoimmune diseases, including PMR, which I have. These shots are actually damaging people. And I guess from the point of view of the medical industrial complex, this, makes good sense. Let people get sicker and we'll make more money making them better again. And that may be the new business model. Get them sick, then, ask for money to make them well again. Meanwhile, there was a peer-reviewed article in the journal Minerva, a review of science, learning, and policy, and they published an article on COVID-related censorship. And they're out there saying, yes, there was COVID censorship. Alternative views were being shut down. Doubters were being silenced. And they're finally saying, yeah, it really was happening. It really was happening here. Meanwhile, Republican senators are demanding the White House pause all taxpayer-funded gain-of-function research. And that is really, I think, a very good idea, because my concern over all this gain-of-function research in Wuhan, China, Ukraine, bunches of places all around the world, that's how you make biological weapons. You take disease-causing pathogens and you increase their potency, their lethality, their communicability, and so forth. And that's why I said World War III may not turn out to be a nuclear war. It may turn out to be a biological war, which is going to be pretty ugly here. Meanwhile, the Department of Health and Human Services wants to go back to mandate wearing masks to stop long COVID. And I guess they have stock in the mask-making companies. By the way, have you noticed how those masks became part of the pollution in our streets and parking lots? That people take them off and they just throw them on the ground. They're not being treated like they're medical waste, which we're told these masks have trapped all these COVID particles in there, and they're dangerous and everything. They should be treated like medical waste. They're not. They're just thrown in trash cans or on the ground here. Now, pardon me. There is a investigation over in the European Union of corruption. And it's possible that the president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, is not as squeaky clean, and that there may have been some conflict of interest and financial remuneration over the Pfizer contracts. Within the scope of the European Union and its institutions in Brussels and Luxembourg, this is largely the tradition to either install puppets who serve powerful governments and their corrupt interests, or giant industry itself. Corruption rules. Well, only because we let it okay? And finally, another story, and we've heard this before, but it's worth repeating again. Women who are aware of what's going on with COVID are basically avoiding dating vaccinated men because they don't want to get the spike proteins through indirect means, to put it delicately here. And it's changing the dating scene. And unfortunately, we're now hearing stories about men who are vaccinated now lying and saying, oh, I never got the vaccine here, and, you know, doing what men tend to do here. Another little scandal here. 1 million fake COVID tests from China on their way to Germany were seized, identified, and confiscated in the Netherlands. And these counterfeit tests may be one of the reasons why there was such a problem with false positives and false negatives, and so things like that. In non-COVID area, there's a new study showing that taking certain drugs that are supposed to be anti-inflammatory for arthritis, like Aleve and ibuprofen, might actually be making the arthritis inflammation worse. Okay, who would have thunk of that? I mean, there's some, this is great for your arthritis, and you take the pill and you're in more pain, you take more pills, you buy more pills. It's really a kind of icky there, if you think about it. And finally, there's another article in Front Page Magazine, and it's pointing out a very ugly reality about the future of medical care in this country. The article title is, "The Next Generation of Doctors Will Be Diverse, Woke, and Incompetent." And the article is basically talking about how medical schools are going woke, and they are no longer interested in the most talented, intelligent, and educated potential medical students. They're picking from the usual checklist. We've got to have so many women, so many Mexicans, so many blacks, so many this, so many gays, so many trans. And, you know, so see all these protected minorities. They're fully represented in the world of medicine. And I'm a meritocracist. When I'm lying there on the surgical table, you know, I want somebody holding that scalpel who knows what they're doing rather than is simply the politically correct person to be put in there. It's a kind of a really scary thought. Okay. And we mentioned this yesterday, but again, another article about this. This is from Tethasta.com. The abortion industry's deceitful insistence that miscarriage treatment is restricted due to state-level abortion laws is wrong and is endangering patients. And we're getting to the situation between this story and the one that I just reported where policy decisions are being made for political reasons rather than the welfare of the general public. They're willing to let people die to have a diverse, woke medical force. They're willing to let people die in this political argument over abortion. You know, so we didn't need those people anyway. What can I tell you here? All right, getting to the international news here, and things are really kind of up in the air. The World Health Organization announced yesterday that the power situation in Ukraine is so dire it may be life-threatening for millions of Ukrainians, okay? Ukraine, on the other hand, is telling their people not to panic. It's all going to be, you know, fine. It's going to be about survival here, but we'll make it through, and, you know, we're going to stand tough in the fate of the Russians. Now, Patrick Buchanan came on out with his analysis of Putin's strategy. And a lot of people have said, well, you know, Putin could be doing a lot more than he's doing. And Buchanan has suggested that what Putin is doing is shutting down the energy infrastructure in Ukraine. Then he's going to back up and he's going to let winter actually win the war for him, because that's what defeated Napoleon. That's what defeated the invading armies of the Third Reich. And it very well could work. And so we're going to see what's, you know, happening there. All right, getting into a fact check of Ukraine. Let's take Kherson and FTX as two examples of NATO censorship of the hard and soft wars over Ukraine. British and Irish state-controlled media have shown hours of smiling citizens greeting their Ukrainian liberators in Kherson, just like they welcomed their other liberators back in 1941. Scratching only a little further, we find that the spokesperson for those liberated Khersonians was the Kiev-based head of a Nazi death squad who had only recently arrived along with the Azov liberators in Kherson. Remember back when 9/11 happened and there were pictures all over the TV about how the Palestinians were celebrating, what a wonderful thing had happened to America. And then it came on out that the Palestinians in the video had actually been videoed ahead of time, and they'd just been given, you know, generous helpings of food. Well, you know, when you're a hungry person and you get a big plate of food to eat, you're going to be smiling a lot. And that footage was then put on the air saying, oh, they're cheering for the collapse of the World Trade Towers. So, you know, really, when does television lie to you? Pretty much all the time, okay? Article out of UNS.com, putting an end to Volodymyr Zelensky's follies. And they're talking about last week's attempt to try and turn this accidental Ukrainian firing of a Russian-made missile into Poland into an attempt to draw NATO into the war with Russia. And, you know, this is dangerous. They're playing with fire. If Zelensky has succeeded, we would be in the doorway of World War III, which could go nuclear or biological. Now, a little bit of good news. 5 days after the Associated Press cited an anonymous senior U.S. intelligence official in a story that claimed a Russian missile had killed two Polish civilians, one of the two reporters behind the story was fired. And AP later retracted the story and issued a lukewarm kind of a correction here. Now, the Russian embassy in Washington earlier today condemned the U.S. reaction to the video believed to show a massacre of Russian prisoners of war by the Ukrainian military, saying that the U.S. authorities enable a growing sense of impunity of the neo-Nazis in Ukraine. Earlier in the day, U.S. Ambassador at Large for Global Criminal Justice Beth Van Schaik said the U.S. was monitoring reports of the shooting of prisoners of war in Donbass, and everybody should respect international law. Generally, that doesn't happen during wars here. But the New York Times, and we're starting to see the corporate media realize that, you know, hardcore propaganda is not as profitable as actually reporting the news. The New York Times actually had a rare moment where they conducted an in-depth visual investigation of this likely war crime against surrendered Russian troops carried out by Ukrainian forces. Now, there are multiple videos from different angles, including drone footage, showing an incredibly disturbing scene as Ukrainian forces were recapturing the village of Makivka in the Luhansk region. And the videos show 10 apparently unarmed Russian soldiers lying face down on the ground who are... they're seen moving at the start of the tape in a position of surrender, and then the Ukrainians simply execute them right there on the spot. This is a violation of international laws of war. It's a war crime, what they're doing. Now, those in our government media who are pushing for us to support the Ukrainians, oh, they're, you know, they're wonderful people, and so forth and so on. the reality is that Zelensky, much in the model of so many other U.S.-installed dictators in other countries, is a very hard dictator, and he's lionized by the neoconservative right and a lot of the left and the corporate media. Some examples are, Zelensky defines courage in our time. This was Karl Rove in the Wall Street Journal. Zelensky embodies resilience. This was in Business Insider. And the reality is that Zelensky has a long history of crushing dissent and oppressing his people. Now, remember, on his last election, Ukraine outlawed all the other competing political parties. Gee, I wonder who's going to win that one here. Now, we've been talking about all the money and the weapons that have been pouring into Ukraine, something over $100 billion. And, gee, I just have to wonder what good we could do in this country with $100 billion. And it turns out, according to this article in Spiegel, that U.S. inspectors do not know where 90% of the weapons given to Ukraine are. Nobody's been keeping track, and we already know that some of them have shown up on the international black market for weapons. And I don't know, maybe after the radio show, I'm going to go over to eBay and see if I can pick myself up a Stinger missile here. Meanwhile, Germany is going to deploy a Patriot missile system to Poland in response to the Ukrainian missile incident. And so hopefully that's not going to happen again here. Now, over at Zero Hedge, they had a really good article talking about the evolution of the European Union and how from its very inception and creation... oh, my goodness, time is really flying. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials and be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Defeat. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica. Another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no way, can't draw no pay. Unemployment.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're talking about the history of the European Union and how, since its creation, there was an effort from Brussels to create a single unified European identity, and it really has not worked out. These independent nations have managed to keep their own personal society and history and refuse to be absorbed into this mass of conflicting social expectations here. All right, down in Iran, their foreign ministry spokesman took the IAEA to task regarding their politically motivated anti-Tehran resolution and reminded everybody that Iran, as a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, has a very transparent, peaceful nuclear program. And the IAEA has been in there many times. They have never found anything to support the claim that Iran is producing nuclear weapons. But Iran is sort of feeling the pressure and seeing the inevitable of what's going to happen. And so Iran has started enriching uranium to 60% purity at Fordow in response to the IAEA resolution. What they're doing is creating a situation where they're closer to creating fissionable weapons-grade uranium than if they start from scratch. Now, 60% purity is not weapons grade. You need 95% and above, but 60% is definitely getting there. And they're sending a message saying that if Iran is not going to be left alone, purely out of survival, they will have to move forward on a nuclear weapon. Same thing that we saw over in Korea. All right, the European Parliament is throwing their weight behind the Iranian riots and has cut ties with Iran. This is a very undiplomatic thing to do, and European Parliament is extending their support for the riots in Iran, and they're claiming Iran's unacceptable sanctioning of several members of the House. And so that's going to pour salt on the wounds. And all of this, of course, is a replay of the failed attempt to change Iran's government back in 2009. Then, they were stirring up trouble and saying, oh, the Iranian people are in revolt. And there were a lot of people being killed and everybody was blaming everybody else. And it all fell apart when the son of the Shah went public saying he was ready to resume the throne of Iran. And they started distributing flags for the new Iranian government, which turned out to be exact copies of Iran under the Shah. And at that point, the Iranian people, who do not really look back at those years with a tremendous amount of fondness, basically abandoned the movement, and it all fell apart and fizzled here. The war in Yemen is continuing. A lot of people are starving. A lot of people are dying. And as was the case in Iraq. Oh, my goodness. All right. We're going to open the phone lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.